Drugs, The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, an audio Mises Daily by Mark Thornton. The senseless Batman killings in Aurora, Colorado, as well as those that occurred years earlier in Columbine, a few miles away, have something in common with the number one cause of overdose deaths in the United States and an important potential cause of teen suicides. Prescription drugs approved as safe and effective by the Food and Drug Administration, or the FDA. As an Austrian economist, I am not saying that FDA-approved drugs caused these problems. The people who took those drugs and did those things are the people who caused those bad outcomes. What I am saying is that the FDA is guilty of manipulating information and people's choices and thereby contributes to all these negative outcomes. I am also not saying that all FDA-approved drugs are inherently harmful, ineffective, or should never be used. Most importantly, FDA-approved drugs and products help to make Americans fatter, weaker, dumber, sicker, poorer, and in general, less healthy. We have been lulled into substituting prescription drugs for healthy lifestyles. You don't need to correct unhealthy conditions in your life. Just take this pill every day for the rest of your life. The experts at the FDA have approved it, and your doctor has advised you to take them. Collectively, this process is unconscionable, even though it is now considered normal. As the pharmaceutical and medical industries pile up cash, the health crisis grows and spreads across the country. This is the irrational world created by the FDA. This powerful government bureaucracy, coupled with massive government monopolies, for example, the American Medical Association, drug patents and certificates of needs for hospital, direct subsidies from the government such as Medicare and Medicaid, and indirect subsidies for comprehensive health insurance, etc., have combined to give America the most expensive medical industry and the least healthy population in the advanced world. The FDA is a government bureaucracy, which Mises showed must be a rule-driven rather than a market-driven institution. Quote, bureaucratic management is management of affairs which cannot be checked by economic calculation. Hence, the affairs governed by bureaucracies grow increasingly irrational and out of sync with human wants over time. As Mises demonstrated, the rule-driven bureaucracy is all about violence, not progress. The ultimate basis of an all-around bureaucratic system is violence. For example, we recently saw the FDA fine GlaxoSmithKline $3 billion for illegally marketing their drugs for unapproved uses. They have fined other drug companies for similar practices, but do they ever really get the job done? No, the FDA is habitually slow to react, and even when they do, such fines are considered just part of the cost of doing business with the FDA. No people have actually been punished. GlaxoSmithKline's stock price actually rose significantly when the fine was announced, and hardly anyone else even noticed the event. How unlike the free market, where a few tainted pills of Tylenol unleashes weeks of cable television news coverage, billions of product recalls, crashing stock prices, and billions spent correcting the product safety issue and assuaging the fears of consumers. When it comes to drugs, there are good drugs that are produced and regulated by the real free marketplace. There are bad drugs that are created as a result of government prohibitions. And then with the FDA, things get ugly. Here there are no social mechanisms to generate solutions, only a bureaucracy concerned with protecting itself and its power. The Big Pharma FDA nexus is just one giant conflict of interest against the general public. So let us now try to make economic sense of all this FDA chaos. Drugs have been used for thousands of years. We now consume more goods that are considered drugs than ever before. There is no denying the benefit and economic value of drugs. However, the subject does raise an often neglected consideration of harm. Unexpected harm is the result of underappreciated dangers from the consumption of a good. In other words, everyone expects to receive more benefits than costs when buying a good. Our expectations include some known uncertainties and other possible risks. For our purposes, harm comes from unknown risks of consuming a good. In the case of drugs and drug-like products, we can see large systemic errors by consumers who are harmed as a result. For example, the American Medical Association and doctors, as well as the U.S. government, help promote cigarette smoking, increasing the number of smokers and cigarettes smoked, and thereby increase the amount of lung cancer and heart disease. Systematic errors in the case here are the choices made about pharmaceutical drugs, where the physical and psychological harm are not properly anticipated because of the FDA's seal of approval. This would include the use of these drugs as prescribed by doctors, as well as the illegal use by those not under medical supervision. In recent years, the harm from prescription drugs has caught up with and actually surpassed the harm from illegal drugs. This suggests that more people perceive prescription drugs to be far safer than their black market counterparts. By 2008, more than half of the overdose deaths, 55%, were related to prescription drugs. Opiate pain relievers such as OxyContin accounted for 73% of prescription-related deaths. Additionally, in 2009, there were 1.2 million emergency room visits related to prescription drug overdoses, compared to 1 million related to illegal drugs such as heroin and cocaine. The link between antidepressant drugs and teen suicide is murky, and the research seems inconclusive. But this is typically the case with FDA-approved drugs. The drug companies conduct tests that are reviewed by the FDA, but what really counts as safe and effective is elusive for the ultimate consumer, and even the doctors who are doing the prescribing. Despite inconclusive evidence, the FDA advisory panel recommended a black box warning for all antidepressants, and this is the most serious action taken by the FDA, short of outright prohibition. The determination of what drugs are safe and effective in the free market would be more open, with greater oversight and review, and subject to third-party approval. We could well imagine that something similar to Consumer Reports or Underwriter Laboratories would emerge to provide a more dependable seal of approval. In order to make some sense of this FDA-caused chaos, let us organize our economic analysis on the basis of economic categories rather than chemical or government classifications of drugs. Drugs can be classified as good, bad, or ugly. For example, good drugs include those that arose on the free market and continue to be produced, distributed, and consumed on the market without product-specific government interventions. Examples of this category include aspirin, milk of magnesia, preparation H, and laudanum, a tincture product of opium. These drugs are characterized as high benefit, low cost, and little harm, as described above. This category would also include the large markets for alcohol, marijuana, and tobacco, except that in recent decades, these markets have experienced massive government interventions in the United States. Otherwise, those markets would be characterized as high benefit, low cost, and low harm. The bad category of drugs include those where the free market was replaced by government prohibition and the black market. Examples of this category include crack cocaine, crystal meth, heroin, and the hand sanitizer martini. These markets are considered and characterized as low benefit, high cost, and a great deal of harm. It is important to note that some of the harm associated with these drugs is expected in the sense that they are known to be dangerous. It is also worthy of note that if these drugs were placed in a good environment, that is, the marketplace, the harm would decrease, the cost would dramatically decrease, and the benefits would dramatically increase. For example, the Bayer Pharmaceutical Company once sold a low-potency, pharmaceutically pure dose of heroin in pill form that could even be prescribed for infants, although, of course, it was still highly addictive. Coca-Cola sold millions of units of its original formula with cocaine as the active ingredient. The ugly category consists of pharmaceutical drugs developed and governed under the regime of the Food and Drug Administration. Bad drugs are those with known inferiorities and hazards. Efforts to suppress such drugs only serve to make them even more inferior and hazardous. For example, with increased prohibition penalties, drugs could have fewer attributes that consumers desire. They could become more potent and contain more harmful impurities. Therefore, stricter prohibition reduces quality, increases potency, and makes drugs more toxic and potentially more addictive. Therefore, for our purposes, bad drugs are actually controlled by economic laws that dictate more or less predictable responses from entrepreneurs operating under the black market conditions. ugly drugs are controlled less by economic laws and are more the result of a bureaucratic process. Bureaucracies are driven by rules that are politically determined, although results are certainly influenced by the incentive of the bureaucrats. The results of this bureaucratic process appear to us as both mechanical in terms of process and arbitrary in terms of result. In other words, things get ugly in the realm of the FDA. It has already been well established that there are major problems with FDA's control over pharmaceutical drugs. First, they do not completely prevent the introduction of harmful products into the market. Second, they raise the cost of bringing new drugs to market, thereby increasing prices and preventing beneficial products from coming to market. Third, they delay beneficial products from coming to market for lengthy periods of time. This means that sick people suffer more and die more often as a result. Fourth, they prohibit niche drugs that treat rare conditions from coming to market because of the high cost and uncertainties of the FDA approval process cannot be sufficiently distributed among such a small group of patients. The focus here is not that the FDA approves highly dangerous drugs or that it stymies the introduction of safe and effective drugs. The focus here is that the FDA approval itself makes drugs more dangerous. FDA approval creates a type of moral hazard for drug companies, doctors, and consumers. A moral hazard causes increased risky behavior to take place. For example, insurance can create a moral hazard if it induces the insured party to take more risks or fewer precautions. For example, mobile phone owners who purchase insurance on their phone may be more likely to take the phones into dangerous situations, such as going to the beach, or to take fewer precautions, such as using a protective case. In the case of FDA-approved drugs, consumers take on increased risks. However, they are not insured against risk. They are assured against risk. The FDA assumes no financial responsibility to consumers. When they collect big fines from drug companies, consumers are not compensated. If the FDA has approved a drug as safe and effective, why should consumers think otherwise? When doctors prescribe those drugs, how are patients supposed to react? They are at a tremendous disadvantage in terms of information. Therefore, it is quite natural for consumers to let down their guard and just take your Lipitor and go to KFC. Most FDA-approved drugs have side effects. Many have dangerous side effects, some of which are deadly. Taking more than one drug at a time also introduces the possibility of dangerous drug interactions. Many drugs are not even effective for the entire population, and many drugs do not pass any kind of cost-benefit analysis. Particularly disturbing is that FDA approval helps shield pharmaceutical companies from liability resulting from damages and harm. They are not exempt from liability, but the fact that the FDA approves of both the drug and its labeling makes it difficult to sue drug companies. However, the most serious problem might be that people rely on FDA-approved drugs rather than applying more straightforward means of addressing health issues, such as lifestyle changes. Many health concerns like high blood pressure, high cholesterol, heart disease, type 2 diabetes can be addressed by changes in nutrition, exercise, and environment. Even cancer and liver disease and arthritis can be addressed with lifestyle changes sometimes, although obviously not completely. This is where prescription drugs actually come into play. The lifestyle method has a tremendous advantage of not just solving the initial health problem, but also of helping to prevent future problems. For example, losing weight to address a blood pressure or cholesterol problem also helps to reduce the risk of developing heart disease. Rather than be responsible for their own health care, American consumers have become passive absorbers of health care services and products. Worse yet, if they have comprehensive insurance and low copays, they become immune to price as a deterrent. The result is overconsumption of dangerous products. As drugs substitute for healthy lifestyles, healthcare, or rather health, continues to decline, and hence the high cost of healthcare in America. The high cost of healthcare is one of the most significant economic problems in the United States. we may have produced what is considered a high-quality system, but it has not resulted in quality health. In 2010, there were almost 4 billion, with a B, prescriptions written, or more than 12 prescriptions for every man, woman, and child in the country. The moral hazard of FDA approval is exacerbated by insurance, in the sense that less than 7% of those prescriptions are paid by cash, and copays have fallen to an average of $10, making drugs a cheap substitute for lifestyle changes. The Pure Food and Drug Act of 1906 was supposed to make our food pure and to eliminate those so-called poisonous patented medicines. The FDA was established to accomplish those goals. What they have achieved is a population that eats poisonous food and gobbles down tons of patented medicines.
The Ludwig von Mises Institute hopes you have enjoyed this audio Mises Daily. For a world of free market literature, media, and discussion, visit Mises.org.